Chapter 98. Ron trudged home after his ninth consecutive day of jug. He only had one more day left. His mother and George were sitting at the kitchen table. She was smiling, and he looked worried. Marjorie said, "Ronald, we're moving." Ron's mouth dropped open. "Where?" "A beautiful little town called Glen Ridge." "Where's that?" "It's right off of Bloomfield Avenue. Wait till you see it. You're gonna love it." Ron stared at them in disbelief. "We're leaving Newark? We're leaving all my friends?" "You'll make new friends," said Marjorie. "I don't want new friends," George said. "I just don't see how we're going to afford it. What happens if one of us gets sick? How are you going to get to work in the mornings?" Marjorie's face was resolute. "George, this is what I want. You promised that if we found the right house, that we could do it. There is a tenant, and that will help a lot with the mortgage." "You can't count on that." "We have to count on it." That night, after a dinner that consisted of green salad and steak, they drove down Summer Avenue, past George's family's home, and turned right onto Bloomfield Avenue. The avenue ran like an artery through Essex County. It began in the north end of Newark and wiggled in an almost straight line up to West Caldwell, where it was intersected with one of the highways that were constructed during the Depression, U.S. Route 46. There were farm stands out at the end of the avenue, and people lived very differently than they did at its base. Marjorie had taken Ron to a pumpkin farm in Verona, where they swiped a Halloween pumpkin that they carved and lighted. Ron remembered the squishy feel of the pumpkin seeds and the long, stringy tendrils that enveloped them. The further away from Newark they drove, the more memory of the tendrils on his hands made him sick to his stomach. Then he saw a Woolworths to his right and a bank like the one in downtown Newark, where Bloomfield Avenue began. The road climbed, and then there were a lot of oak trees. The avenue broadened into a wide sweep, and the air seemed cooler and fresher. It made a right-hand turn by a small row of stores, a police station, two gas stations, and a tiny A&P. It was a one-block, one-way street. A little more than halfway down the block, they stopped in front of a gray house. "Here it is," said Marjorie. It rose up slightly from the street. The top of the roof came to a peak. There were green bushes and no broken glass. Ron's eyes absorbed. What had this place to do with him? How could he ever be more than a visitor to a place like this? Ron thought maybe for the first time, George might be right. They didn't belong here. When Ron went back to school, he felt strange. The time that he still had to go there had seemed endless, and now he was unsure of how long he had left. Brother Alvin no longer spoke to him or looked at him. When he checked homework, he didn't even pause at Ron's desk. He just walked by Ron like he was invisible. Ron didn't know what to do, so he did nothing. Brother O'Shea was still handing out the weekly smacks for failing grades, but Ron had managed to catch up to the point that he was barely passing each algebra quiz. Brother Cecil, who Ron had managed to impress with his knowledge of the life of Jesus, told Ron that he knew more religion than the other kids in his class, and that Brother Cecil wanted him to stay quiet when he asked questions, or when they had discussions in the room. English and history continued to go well, but Ron was finding that he had to force himself to read the pages, and was always looking ahead, hoping that large portions of the pages would be taken up by pictures. He seemed to forget what he read as soon as he was finished reading it. Sometimes it would come back to him. Sometimes it was just gone. In Latin, he was totally lost and stopped even opening his book. The days were very long and very quiet. The quieter they grew, the more withdrawn Ron became. He stopped seeing a psychologist. Marjorie told him that they needed to save every penny they could now. Between the teacher arrivals, Billy Mitchell said, "I've got indefinite fucking jug." "What'd you do?" "Didn't go to school so I could get laid." Ron was impressed. Billy grew in respect in his eyes. Ron had never gotten laid, and he wondered if he ever would get laid. "We're moving," said Ron. He knew that Billy took the bus down from Verona every day and thought maybe he would be able to tell him something about Glen Ridge. "Where to?" "Glen Ridge." Billy Jenkins laughed and said, "You're fucked." Ron felt slapped. "Why?" "Rah-rah heaven." "What do you mean?" "That's the land of Madras shirts and penny loafers."